This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we here on Savor are what you might call food explorers. It has been our actual job to go to cool places and eat like a lot of the food there.
And then talk about it.
And then talk about it into these microphones, which is a crazy dream job.
Yes.
Well, if you're like us and willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people like us who are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have a short episode for you about spooky stuff. A sort of unstructured chat about horror. If y'all have ever been listening to Savor and thinking, oh man, I wish that they would shut up about food and just keep talking about nerdy things that interest them, then well, here you are. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And also thanks to everyone who's written in, because we are kind of dithering on what we're going to call this, whether it's like short stuff or side dish or a bunch of things. Amuse Bouche, somebody suggested. So thank you for all those suggestions. We are taking them into account. This one is kind of appropriate for the season, kind of just haphazardly thrown together due to various reasons. But also, yes, Lauren and I could talk about horror forever. So
yeah, frequently when we get on our little Skype chat before we record an episode, we'll just be chatting and frequently about horror movies. And then all of a sudden it's 30, 40 minutes later. And I'm like, do you want to record the episode that we are here today to hypothetically record?
Right.
So we're going to try to keep this shorter than that. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, it was also funny because we were trying to come up with ideas about what it could be. And Lauren was in a very important all day meeting for multiple days. And I was like, here are 50 things that I'm thinking about.
And just like kept pinging me. And I think my favorite, the one that I actually laughed out loud and then had to explain to the room about, was when you said there have also been a rash of pumpkin boat news items.
Yes.
It's not that I disbelieve you. It's just that the statement, there's also been a rash of pumpkin boat news items, is very funny, objectively. And
yeah.
Especially in the midst of like serious business proceedings. So I was like, meanwhile, in my other life,
pumpkin boats. There has been at least 4 news stories that I have seen.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, we'll have to file those away for another day.
Yes. I did want to say, before we get into this, the new season of 13 Days of Halloween is happening now.
Oh, yeah.
Will have happened.
Uh-huh. It is culminating today, if you are listening on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Annie, your episode came, the episode that you wrote came out yesterday as we record this.
Today?
Oh,
I haven't listened to it yet. I'm so scared.
Oh, me neither. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sure that it's great.
Oh, I'm going to listen to it later. But yeah, and you have provided very creepy voicing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Very excellent.
If y'all have been listening, yes, that was me as the telephone operator, the creepy telephone operator.
It was excellent.
Thank you. I also have one of the screams as people are dying in a fire.
Oh, also, I'm sure excellent. I'm not sure I picked it out or that it has happened, but I'm sure it was or will be great.
the producer, Alex Williams, actually sent me like a very long, rambling voicemail about how much he loved that scream.
That's so much like him, and I love that.
Yes, 13 Days of Halloween, if you guys have not heard of it, is a horror anthology podcast that our team does every year. And this year is Devil's Night. And it's the star this year is Clancy Brown. Holy heck, who's like one of my vocal idols and also does such an amazing, creepy job in stuff like Carnival. He was one of the really mean prison guards in Shawshank Redemption. Also, Annie, you have one that you're going to have to tell him, not me.
It was Mr. Krabs. That was the one I was like, oh my gosh. He's the voice of Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants, who is my favorite character from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but he is slightly evil.
Okay, yeah.
Motivated by money and capitalism.
Oh, but, the worst villains.
Such a good character, though. Like, so funny. Oh, yeah, it made me very, very happy. I actually texted a bunch of friends. I was like, Mr. Krabs is going to read something I wrote.
That's exciting. That's amazing. my main reference is like, the Kurgan is going to read something that I it said. Here's something I said. I don't have a piece in this year's. Anyway, this is the third season. The previous two are super fun. You had a food related one in the first season that is still on some people's minds. I've heard feedback recently that's one of the ones that like has stuck with people.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good segue into this. I will say you have not heard the one I did this year, but there was a running joke that I've been typecast as a cannibal, which is such a thing to say that is very not suspect at all.
Certainly
but
not.
One of the ideas I put in the base camp about ideas around horror, things that have stuck with me around horror, is this idea that you're consuming something that you don't know what it is.
Right.
And a lot of times what's involved in that is some kind of bodily fluid or even meat. Because meat pies was one of our first, like, we could talk about
different meat pie horror. Yeah, like a countdown of horrific meat pies. Sure, because right, like things like Titus Andronicus and Sweeney Todd are both like very formative pieces of media from my probably inappropriately early childhood.
Me too. I saw Titus Andronicus when I was like under 10, I think.
Goodness. Like, the Julie Taymor version?
Oh, I don't know. The modern...
The film with Anthony Hopkins?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's the Julie Taymor version. Yep. Yeah, I'm still... I mean, it's meant to be upsetting and schlocky, but for sure, that imagery, hoofta, I love it. It's very upsetting.
It is. And then one of the things that kept coming up to me... our movies, we talked about this in our Pan's Labyrinth episode. Sometimes movies aren't categorized as horror, but they have horror elements or for whatever reason really struck you as a horror movie.
Sure.
So one of the ones that comes up for me all the time when I think of food and food scenes that horrified me was the scene in Matilda. Where the kid is forced to eat the chocolate cake.
Oh, right, with a trench bowl. Yeah, and what a terrifying character that still is. I feel like there's a little trench bowl at the back of my head all the time, like just being intimidating and terrible.
Yeah, and it was, you know, very heavily implied, if not said outright, this blood, sweat, and tears were in this cake.
Oh.
And this kid is, you know, eating his way through it. And that's something that has just stuck with me. And I think it's part of what inspired my 13 days, my original 13 days, which I call Red Velvet, but is called like Forking Pass of the Garden in the original.
Sure,
series. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. No, there's any number. Right. I mean, you know, like the Soylent Green is people trope can be explored in any number of ways. But also just right, like your food being wrong or your food transforming or being monstrous in some other direct and often practical effect related way is just one of my very favorite things. It completely grosses me out. Just not a lot gives me a bodily reaction. But I was thinking about like the scene in It where they're at the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And oh.
Yeah. And it goes on and on is the thing about that scene is you're like, surely
it's going to stop. It's some, nope, we're still here. This is, okay. All right. And I see why this, I mean, either the miniseries or the new movie series, both. I'm like, I see why this is so long because the scene is 29 hours.
And it's like, it's kind of related to, I think, the heart of what a lot of the examples I was giving you is that's supposed to be a scene where they're coming together. They're trying to heal their relationship, come up with a plan about what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's flipped on them where everything that you might be connecting over, all those warm things we say about food all the time.
Sure. And something like one of those Chinese-American diners where it's really comfort food for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is very fried and very starchy. And turning that completely on its head, the nostalgia of that on its head and having it be something so surreal and disgusting is very sharp and fun.
Yeah. And that reminds me of another one I love, which is the scene, the famous scene in Alien, where you've got this character has woken up. You thought he was going to die. Seems like it's going to be okay. And they have what they don't know is essentially their kind of last meal, like their final, very reminiscent of the Bible in a lot of ways. And the food looks, you know, it doesn't look super appetizing, but it looks, you know, pretty good. And they're enjoying it and they're having fun. And they're like, oh, this is our last thing we're going to enjoy together before we all hibernate because this is set in space. So they're going to, you know, go
space hibernate as you do. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just becomes a really gruesome scene that just shocked and stuck with so many people of like, you know, you can hear my movie crush episode about all the other issues going on, but also like you eat something and then what this thing pops out of your stomach. Like it's so disturbing.
Yeah. If you've ever had a really bad case of indigestion, it's sort of what you fear is going to happen. But right, watching it play out literally on their dinner table is, yeah. Oof. Yeah. It's that reminded me of one of the other categories that you suggested, which is the horror of dinner parties.
Yes.
Or the anxiety of dinner parties and how often we see that played out as a trope in horror films. And it's everywhere.
It is. And it's really funny because, again, not to keep bringing it back to my work, but my 13-day story, like some people were more disturbed by the because it was about icebreakers and meeting new people.
Uh-huh.
Some people were more disturbed by that. And I have just noticed lately a glut of these movies that are about like going to a dinner party and it goes wrong, or there's another motive behind this dinner party.
Sure.
You can't trust people at this dinner party. And I think that's something that's always been there. That's a really fun trope when you do like a whodunit.
Of course.
But I do feel like there's a lot more lately. And I wonder if this has to do with our kind of growing isolation due to COVID. A lot of this did happen before COVID, but like kind of our growing suspicion of what is this event actually for? Like, why am I going? Yeah. Because, you know, usually at these events, you are, even if you like the people there, you're putting up some kind of pretense or there's some performance that's going on that can put you really, really on edge.
Yeah. And there are so many movies that play with that. I really liked Your Next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good twist on The Final Girl for sure.
Yes. That movie made me, I had very low expectations for some reason going into it, but I found it a very pleasurable kind of slashery flick. Yeah. But also, right, like going way back, like to the dinner scene in Beetlejuice with the shrimp cocktail coming to life. And
yep.
And yes. Forced dancing. I feel like any dancing that I'm doing at a party is more or less forced. So
you're right. I need to re-examine that scene as like a dinner party gone wrong instead of just like, oh, this is funny. Huh. Okay. Okay. Going off of that, one of the other ones I listed, which is, I feel like we're kind of dovetailing these two themes, but the tea in Midsommar, not knowing what's in your food again, but also this kind of dinner party expectations. You're not sure what is the protocol, what you should do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's definitely mushrooms. Like, what's in the tea is
yes,
mushrooms.
Well, that's... and other things later.
Yep. But yeah, that idea that it's not always straightforward. But then I was also thinking about other anxieties about the table situations, like in a couple of my favorite modern horror films, Hereditary and The Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those films feature incredibly tense scenes at the dinner table because there's supposed to be this place of familial warmth and coming together, and it gives such a good platform to have. I mean, nothing really directly supernatural happens in either of those movies directly at the dinner table, but it's still two of the most upsetting scenes in those two extremely upsetting films.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's also something as I've grown older, have noticed about things like holidays or whatever, where there, you know, I enjoy a good hanging out and celebration, but there are all these like tensions around them.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff does come out over the dinner table. And I think that's one of those things where we've been talking about it more as our political divide has become worse and worse. But like, you know, that dinner table is a risky place because you're all trying to gather and be cool.
But who's going to say what? Like, what's going to set someone off? Like, what if, you know, and then like what kind of personal histories are going to come into it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh. A lot of these we want to come back and do full episodes on.
Oh, yeah.
I think that like the whole history of like the dinner table and then just the dinner table's use and those kinds of scenes would be great. Also, I did say there has been a rise of mushroom horror that I think is The Last of Us started it, but it's everywhere now.
Okay.
I have a whole list I could send you.
Okay. You're wider watched than I am.
Oh,
so
wow. I got a whole list.
I believe you.
And then also, kind of going along a lot of this. There's this short story I read. I wonder if you have any short story like this, Lauren. I read it in ninth grade. It was called Lose Now, Pay Later. And just very shortly, like, it was a basically, it was very 90s. Oh,
okay.
It was about, like, a Froyo place that was not what it seems. The Froyo was the best thing you've ever had in your life. And then it was coupled with this, everybody was eating so much Froyo, they were gaining all this weight. So next door, this, like, booth opened up where you could lose weight. And everybody was so excited about it, they didn't question it. And then it was aliens.
Oh,
and
no.
It was aliens. which is also related to an 80s movie called The Stuff. But there is a whole, this impacted me so much, Lauren. There's a whole Stuff Mom Never Told You episode about it, if you want to check it out.
That's great.
But that kind of whole idea, too, of just, there's not knowing what's in your food, and then there's purposefully not looking into what's in your food.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. These are the things. The horror movies give us all these thoughts. I love it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and now I'm thinking about, like, the Buffy episode, Double Meat Palace.
Yes. Yes. Which we talked about before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the Supernatural episode with the turducken burger.
Oh, yeah. See, it tastes so good. You don't want to look into it, but
yeah.
Maybe you should look into
maybe
it.
Maybe you should.
Well, this has been a delight for us.
Yes, yes. And hopefully a fun preview of some stuff that may be to come. So if y'all have any emotions about any of these ideas, if you're like, yes, let us continue spooky season is all year, mm-hmm. And need to know more about any of these immediately, write in.
Yes. And also, if you did any fun Halloween meals.
Oh, yeah. Parties, Halloween. Drinks. Oh. Yeah.
Whole thing. Yes.
Costumes.
Please let us know.
If
yes.
your pets were in costumes, if your pets were in costumes.
Yes. As food.
Especially as food, but
at all.
But yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah, we just want more pictures of your pets.
Not in the creepy way, promise. Yes, you can email us at hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express Card. And we here on Saver are what you might call food explorers. It has been our actual job to go to cool places and eat, like, a lot of the food there.
And then talk about it.
And then talk about it into these microphones, which is a crazy dream job.
Yes.
Well, if you're like us and willing to travel to seek out new foods to try, you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. It's for people like us who are in search of the next food adventure. If you travel, you know. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.